Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everyone. I'd like to welcome all of you back to Ohio Exopolitics. I'm your host, Mark Snyder, and we are back studying the Billy Meier case. I am going to put the intro nature sounds back on just for a second, and then I'll dive right into the show. Hello, everyone. I want to welcome all of you back to Ohio Exopolitics. I'm your host, Mark Snyder. Sorry for the little hiccup there at the beginning of the show. I seem to be having some blog talk problems. The show started 15 minutes too early, and its length was only 15 minutes. So I'm not sure exactly if that was user error on my part or something gone awry in the blog talk world. So I thought I had another 15 minutes to kind of get my act together, but I guess I don't. Boy, I tell you, I have been reading a lot of information in the Meier material, and sometimes when you kind of flood yourself with this stuff, it takes a little while to sort everything out, and that's kind of the state of mind I'm in right now, so bear with me a little bit. I'd like to start out with Contact Report 543, which is probably one of the most devastating bits of information I've come across in a while. It talks about the danger of reading electronic books for the consciousness activity in the physical brain, that it's extremely harmful. And it does say reading electronic books. So I've been trying to avoid reading online as much as possible, and I'm also trying to avoid being online as much as possible. It says here, namely, if by the reading of electronic data only, this is included, however, not processed in good measure through the intellect, rationality, and logic, then slowly but surely there occurs a consciousness poverty and consciousness deterioration. There also appears, however, a gradual deterioration of the brain, in which case a process of brain degradation occurs. Scary stuff. As well as increasing body weight and uncontrolled aggressiveness and a gradual loss of intellect. Well, if there's anything that would get you to stop doing something, it would certainly be that. So let me say this much. If you can afford it, don't read online. And that's a bit of a challenge because, you know, everything is set up so we're supposed to be reading online all the time, which is, of course, a major headache, all things considered. And this goes on. I'm just reading a very, very little bit of it to you here. And then Billy goes on, does this generally apply for the electronic entertainment and information, thus also with regards to the Internet, Facebook, iPad, computer games, etc., and everything else that exists in regard in this and still to come in the future? And Patah says, this is indeed the case. It goes on. That's Contact Report 543. If you want to read that for yourself, I suggest you go out onto the Future of Mankind site. If you Google Future of Mankind, you can find it for yourself. And hopefully I'll be covering that in some future shows as well. Let me head back just for a second to our nature sounds, take another short break. Okay, I think I may have figured out what happened with our show today. Evidently, the show must have started at noontime rather than 1 p.m. Eastern. I'm still trying to figure out what's happened here. So I will try to open up the chat. And again, this is extremely discombobulated. And I apologize for that. Very unusual set of circumstances. In any case, we'll have to see how this archive comes out. And folks, if you get a chance, visit exopoliticsohio.us. Google Ohio Exopolitics. And I have a couple very interesting pages on the Billy Meier case. Right there at the top of the page. And you can start wherever you want. There's all kinds of links where you can go into different topics, how it all began. You can go to the time when the Pleiaron left the Earth. You can, if you're interested in learning about Noah, as told by the Meyer information, you can go there. If you want to hear about the various extraterrestrial bases on Earth, there's a link about that, extraterrestrials on the Earth. You can hear about the seven steps of human evolution, the meditation and controlling your thinking. And you can purchase all this stuff yourself. So in any case, let's get back into the show here. Who is Edward Albert Meyer? Billy Meyer is really unusual, hard to describe person. He's in his late 70s. He lives about 52 minutes east of Zurich by automobile. He's an unbelievably prolific author. He's written 40 books. I'm in the process. I think I've read four of them now. And there are hundreds and hundreds of contact notes. The one contact note I was reading a part of is 543. What's so interesting about him? Well, his writings are the best and clearest answers to all of the big questions in life. Who are we? Where do we come from? What's the purpose of our life? What has happened in the past here on the earth? What's going to happen in our future? What the purpose of our life is? And maybe we'll start there. I think that's maybe the thing that hits home. In most practical terms, in any sense. And it helps us to understand who we are, and that's one of the big questions we really have, is who am I? I mean, you can say that to yourself. Because we have a physical body, and we also have a portion of our body which is semi-physical, you can say. We have something called the psyche, and the psyche controls the thoughts and the feelings associated with the material consciousness. We have a material consciousness, and the influence of the material consciousness kind of goes into the body. For example, if your arm is harmed or something like that, it can affect your psyche. Now, on the other hand, you have a spiritual consciousness, which is related to your spirit form. And your spirit form is this tiny bit of energy, no bigger than the head of a pin. and it resides in the central portion of your brain called the superior colliculus. And it comes into the body of a child 21 days after the sperm fertilizes the egg, and the energy from that spirit form goes out through the whole body like a lattice structure. It starts the heart to beat. When the spirit form comes in, something comes in called the consciousness block. And the consciousness block is kind of a generic term which refers to the various parts of your consciousness. For example, your subconscious, your conscious mind, your unconscious, your memories. And when that consciousness block comes in, also in your subconscious are the memories of your predecessor personalities, which generally at our level of evolution, we don't have access to those memories directly. But they signal us, they give us inspiration, we kind of get these impulses from the memories of our predecessor personalities. Because, you see, we live millions of years. Most human spirit forms on the Earth have lived between 4 and 5 million years. Now, there are spirit forms here that are extraterrestrial in nature. Some of them may be as old as 12 million years old. Now, the very, very big exception to this rule is Edward Albert Meyer, the spirit form of Edward Albert Meyer. Now, don't confuse that with Billy per se, because this is just one incarnation of the spirit form, of this spirit form. And the Meyer information refers to his spirit form as Nokodamjan or Nokodamian, and there's a lineage associated with that. And the first incarnation of Nokodamian or Nokodamjan was a human being. My understanding is this human being did not originate in our galaxy. So the first incarnation of Nokodamjan or Nokodamian was in another galaxy called the Lyran Galaxy on a planet named Sadar, which is about 3 billion light years. Distance beyond my imagination. And that was the first incarnation. And this... Now let me read to you what it says here about Nokodamian. The knowledge taught by this herald will be integrated by the human and verbally further carried, like it is also through the collective subconscious forms and through other swinging waves, and continues to ever continuously be disseminated throughout the entire universe. There's a lot of information there. One thing that it touches on is the whole idea of the collective subconscious. So in some way that we don't understand just yet, all the people on the Earth are connected subconsciously. And one of Billy's extraterrestrial contacts, named Askett, explained this to him. And Askett says, in reality, this is only the truth to the extent that the Earth human beings are connected with other terrestrial life forms through the Earth humanity's collective subconsciousness. So you have a subconsciousness, and in your subconsciousness is the memories of your predecessor personalities. And your subconsciousness is connected to all the other human beings of the Earth in a collective subconscious, which we don't really understand yet. And as we evolve more and more, we'll probably come to a better understanding of that. Now, I was talking about Billy Meyer, and Billy Meyer is a human being alive right now. His spirit form is very ancient. It goes back to this planet named Sadar in the Lyran Galaxy. And the spirit form is older than our Earth. If you look at our Earth, it's about 5 billion years old from the time it became a solid planet. It was about 5 billion years old. This spirit form is older than our Earth, and it originated in a galaxy called the Lyran Galaxy, again, some 3 billion light years from our Earth now, on a planet. The planet's long gone, the galaxy's long gone, but the spirit form remains. And these extraterrestrials that Billy has contact now with are connected with this line, this lineage of people that come from Nokodemian. So if you're talking about Sfoth or Asket or Semyase or Quetzal or Ta, they're all connected some way to the spirit form, and they watch for the spirit form for its various incarnations, because it does periodically incarnate, and it has been incarnating on the Earth for about the last 10, 13,000 years, and even beyond that time, even farther back. The second incarnation of Nokodemian was, and this is a person named Henoch, which, well, let me read what it says here. Semyase and I, as well as Ptah and Father Sfoth, as well as my father, Semyase and I, as well as Ptah and his father Sfoth, as well as my father, have always belonged paternally to a line of descendants that leads back to Henoch and Nokodemian, as well as their sons. These sons were the ones who were under an obligation to the mission to instruct all who come from the Nokodemian and Henoch lineage in a hereditary series in the teaching of the spirit, and to preserve the entire knowledge. So Henoch, H-E-N-O-K, goes back a tremendous amount of time in the past, a little bit more recent than Nokodemian. So this lineage can most recently be traced through as Enoch, Elijah, Isaiah, Jeremiah, Emmanuel, Muhammad, and now Edward Albert Meyer. And this is the same spirit form reincarnating over various different times. And I thought it might be a good time, if you'll forgive me just for a second. I have a clip that I think might be good for, if I can find it, by a guy named Dr. Ian Stevenson, who's done some research in reincarnation, and who will tell you a little bit from a purely scientific, objective, fact perspective what kind of science has been done in terms of reincarnation. So let me go ahead and play this clip.
This little boy is referred to as Sam in case studies. A year and a half before he was born, his grandfather died.
When he was about 18 months old, his dad was changing his diaper one day, and Sam looked up at him and said, "When I was your age, I used to change your diaper."
Since 1996, Dr. Jim Tucker, a psychiatrist at the University of Virginia, has been gathering case studies of past life recognition in children that could prove that a soul returns to Earth in another body.
We've now got 2,500 cases in our files from all over the world.
Many people believe in some form of reincarnation. The concept dates back to 800 BC and the Hindu Upanishads. Beginning in India, the belief that some essential part of ourselves may return after death to a new body is now being examined by some scientists as another way to prove the survival of consciousness. Can the study of past life recollections support this theory? The answer may lie within young children's memories.
Very young children, usually between the age of 2 or 3, who start reporting that they have memories from having had a past life. Some of them talk about being deceased relatives, but others will talk about being strangers in other locations. And if they give enough details, like the name of the other location, people have often gone there and found that, in fact, someone had died in the recent past whose life matches the details that the children gave.
Okay, that's the work of Dr. Ian Stevenson, who I guess did accumulate some 2,500 cases of pretty good circumstantial evidence talking about past lives. So I'll try to get back to some more hard evidence on that at a later show. I will have Alfred Weber on the Revolution Radio program and 8 to 9 p.m. on Saturday, and we'll talk a little bit more about reincarnation, some of the work that he's done. So anyway, this spirit form of Edward Albert Meyer has incarnated as Enoch, Elijah, Isaiah, Jeremiah, Emmanuel, and Muhammad. In the ancient past is Nocodemian, and it has taught a very ancient and universal teaching called the teaching of the spirit. And the teaching of the spirit is probably the basis of much of our religion that is on earth now, although our religions have gone horribly astray. The teaching of the spirit talks not only about the spirit form, which I've been discussing, and it also talks about the universal consciousness or the creation. And the creation doesn't coincide with the term God. We like the term God here on the earth. Meyer material explains that there's a creational universal consciousness, but that doesn't correspond to the notion of God, because our notion of God is now an anthropomorphic, person-like situation. That, you know, where we say God is jealous or God is angry or, you know. The universal consciousness is neither good nor evil. It's neutral positive. Now, but listen, this is very interesting. It radiates love. Now, how does it do that? The incredible splendor of nature is the visible expression of the love of creation. And love is the highest principle in all creation. And everything follows that principle in absolute logic. Now, the creation is pure spiritual energy. It doesn't manifest itself like a person. It doesn't demand things of you. It's all about evolution. And it's the intelligence that created our universe 46 trillion years ago. And it created a parallel universe as well, called the Tao universe 46 trillion years ago. By natural processes. And galaxies form, and solar systems form, and planets form. And if we go back 5 billion years ago, our Earth formed and became solid. And then slowly, life appears. You know, first very simple single-celled animals or plants, mostly plants. And then plants, once the plant kingdom starts to mature, then animals will start to appear. And then after, you have flora and fauna, and then human life appears. And this is a process which occurs naturally across the universe. There are about 7 million solar systems in our Milky Way galaxy that can support higher life, like human beings. there is about 2,600,000 higher civilizations, higher human civilizations on the Earth, or excuse me, in the solar system, in the Milky Way galaxy. Boy, oh boy, oh boy. About 9 to 12 million years ago, mankind started to appear on the Earth. In that, primates started to evolve their consciousness enough where they started to become thinking beings. And this is a natural process which occurs all over the Milky Way. A natural process of evolution that occurs. So we're not alone. We've never been alone. And life does appear over our galaxy. It's thinly, human civilizations are kind of thinly spread out. The Earth in the solar system is in one of the outer arms of the Milky Way galaxy. And we've actually rather old, and we've been evolving. We've had other people from other worlds come here in the very, very ancient past, and we've had very, very advanced civilizations here in our past. And this is part of our history that we don't understand at the moment. And I think it's good to cover this stuff and to talk about it, try to get a handle on what has happened here on the Earth, which has been very strange, very hard for people to follow along with, because it's so different than what we're told. I wanted to play just a little bit of a clip here called Cosmic Journeys. And it traces the trip of Voyager, which is one of our probes we sent out, and its journey to the stars. I think you'll enjoy this.
They are part of an ancient quest to push beyond our boundaries, to see what lies beyond the horizon. Now, tens of billions of kilometers from Earth, two spacecraft are streaking out into the void. What will we learn about the galaxy, the universe, and ourselves from Voyager's epic journey to the stars? December 19th, 1972. The splashdown of the Apollo 17 crew capsule marked the end of the golden age of manned spaceflight. The Mercury, Gemini, and Apollo programs had proven that we could send people into space. To orbit the Earth. Fly out beyond our planet. Then land on the moon and walk among its ancient craters. The collective will to send people beyond our planet faded in times of economic uncertainty, war, and shifting.
So I wanted to just bring up a little bit about the Voyager missions, because the Voyager missions it's a probe that's gone out into a little bit deeper space, and we're just beginning our understanding of what's out there. Well, let me describe Voyager real quick. Voyager is an American scientific program that launched two unmanned space missions. The probes Voyager 1 and Voyager 2, they were launched in 1977 to take advantage of this alignment of the planets in the late 1970s. And basically, they were going initially to Jupiter and Saturn. Let me continue here. The space probes were able to continue on their mission just from usage, I suppose. They went, well, let me read what Quetzal says here. This will be a little bit clearer. Quetzal, it will be so and still more. As you already have concluded by yourself on your great voyage, at this place and location, there revolve about 29 moons around Saturn. So, and the Voyager went past all these moons, and it went past Saturn, and it went past Jupiter, and it's still going out there, and it's still traveling out into space, into deep space. And this is discussed in Contact Report 150. And Billy has this long conversation with Quetzal. Who's Quetzal? And Quetzal is about, well, he was 376 years old in 2007. So he's probably closer to 385 years old now. He's 6 feet, 2 inches roughly tall, blue-gray eyes and brown, light brown skin. He has 6 children. And Quetzal was the commander of all the Pleiaden stations in our solar system. And he had tremendous abilities. He's also passed his test to become what they call an Ishwish, or a king of wisdom. And it's just, a king of wisdom is kind of a title in the Pleiaden people. Who are the Pleiadens? Okay, good question. Well, the Pleiaden are one of the extraterrestrial races Billy has had contact with, and he has had more contact with the Pleiaden than anyone else. They have been incorrectly called the Pleiadians by Earth peoples for a long time now. So the name stuck for a long time. Fortunately and unfortunately, they are not actually from our Pleiades. They're from a solar system 60 to 80 million light years beyond our Pleiades in a different space and time configuration. So, in our universe are different space-time configurations that you could think of as like different dimensions. These Pleiaden live in another dimension, an older space-time configuration. So these extraterrestrials travel not only, you know, from star to star within the same dimension, but also from one planet to a planet in a different dimension, a different space-time configuration. So the universe is much more complicated than we can even really imagine at this point. And they have technologies that allow them to literally jump from star system to star system with almost no time passing. And Billy, for example, in Contact 31, was in what they call the mothership, which is they call the Great Spacer. And it allowed him to take some pretty incredible pictures, not as many as we would like. Many were destroyed. But in 1975, on July 17th, Billy was ascended into Semyase's ship in a transport beam, and they went off on this trip through our solar system. to the planets in our solar system, Venus, Mercury, Mars, Jupiter. But as they got out to Jupiter, Billy saw in the distance what looked like a metallic planet out there, a small metallic planet. Why, as they got larger, this is a ship, and it's the size of a moon, but it's shaped very unusually. It has a circular section at the very bottom, a long vertical structure up to what you could call a bridge, where the commander of the ship was. Commander of the ship is Ptah. Ptah is, again, one of these people in this Nokodemian lineage. And Billy got to go on this journey, this long journey, not only in our solar system, but they jumped to other places in our galaxy, one of which is called the Ring Nebula. And the Ring Nebula, by these extraterrestrials, is called the Eye of God, or J-H-W-H Mata. J-H-W-H is the symbol for Ishwish. Well, not all Ishwishes are spiritual. Or I should say, not all Ishwishes are spiritually balanced. If they advanced, if they have advanced farther in their scientific knowledge, then their spiritual knowledge, they can become unbalanced. And that leads to evil. And in this case, this Ishwish destroyed a star, which created this nebula that we still see today, the Ring Nebula. So Billy has been on this long, long journey. He's been out to the Ring Nebula. Now, the Ring Nebula is in the constellation of Lyra, in the Lyrian star system. There's a planet, a star called Vega. And near the Vega star is our planets that supported human life in the ancient past. Let me caveat and say this. I believe also these Lyrians were in a different space-time configuration than us. But they traveled to the Earth 389,000 years ago. And some of them behaved fine and others not so well. And they violated their own rules and laws here on the Earth. And they contaminated our consciousness by telling us things that were not correct, and by doing things that violated their own laws and rules. And for a while, there was something called an agreement, a codex here on the Earth. Some of these in this codex applies to Billy's mission to a degree, and that there are certain people here on the Earth that are trying to rectify the damage that had been done to Earth humanity's involvement in the ancient past. And my understanding is these Lyrians were giants by our standards. They were certainly giants in terms of their material consciousness, in terms of their technologies, giants compared to us. However, I think they were also physically larger. And they visited here first about 389,000 years ago, and I believe there was roughly a million of them here. Some of them agreed to stay behind on Earth to die. And when you die on a planet, your spirit form comes out of the body, and it goes into the spiritual realm around that planet that you die on. So you become part of the natural reincarnational processes on that planet. So when an egg is fertilized again in a female, and that female and the family associated with that female are at a similar vibratory compatibility as the spirit form in the spiritual realm, that spirit is pulled into the superior colliculus of that child. So these older spirit forms, again, I said earlier, some of these spirit forms are maybe 12 million years old, are now being pulled into the embryos, the fetuses, excuse me, of human beings that are going to live lifetimes on the earth. And they'll be impulsed. They'll receive impulses to do certain things. And some of these people will be those that help get us back on the path of correct evolution. That's what the spiritual teaching is all about. Getting Earth humanity back on the path of evolving their consciousness. You see, that is the purpose of our life, to evolve our consciousness, to grow in wisdom, to grow in knowledge. And that's why we live many, many, many lifetimes. So we can see life through different perspectives in these different personalities, so we don't fall into these same patterns and ruts all the time. So we have to go through the humbleness of being a child over and over again. And that reorients us in humility to learn again. But these past life memories are going to continue to impulse us and influence us and inspire us. There are also something called the planetary storage banks, which send out impulses to guide us, to direct us, kind of signals. So the story of Edward Albert Meyer is he's this very ancient spirit form. These extraterrestrials trace him all the way back to this individual called Nicodemian. And he's here on the earth, probably for the last incarnation, to teach this ancient universal teaching. That's called the teaching of the spirit, that will catch on in about 8 centuries from now. It'll catch on across the earth. And my hope is that enough of us start to pick up on this, that it will change the negative historical trends which are occurring right now, so we can minimize the destruction that goes on during this transition period that we're stuck in now. Anyway, I'm sorry about all the problems today on today's show, and I think we should have more time left, but we don't. So I'm going to have to sign off. You're listening to Ohio Exopolitics. I'm your host, Mark Snyder. Have a great day. Talk soon. Goodbye.